This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 16th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today during this cultural Thursday. Today, we actually have a historian who got her master's degree in history, so I'm kind of excited about that. And we also have her aunt, who is a political science major. So this should be entertaining in this conversation, right? But reason why I invited them here is because they love the Bahamas. Not no wishy-washy lover, no. I'm talking about a romantic involvement in developing the Bahamas because they care. I've known these two ladies for years, maybe decades, right? And I've seen both become emotional, both get teary-eyed over the Bahamas and its development. So I was excited to say, hey, can you all come and give me some ideas on where you see the Bahamas in the future? And they said, yes. I said, you come together? And so I'm elated. I'm going to introduce my friend, Catherine. And I'm not even going to tell how I get to know her. And of course, I'm going to introduce my friend, Alexandria, Alex, I call her. I'm not even going to say how I know her either. But I want to welcome them to Guardian Radio in the AM. And to welcome to an ongoing discussion of Bohemian Anna, trying to make sure I pronounce that, which is, what is being Bohemian? Where are we going as the Bahamas and what we should be doing? And I wanted in the conversation regarding festivals and events that showcases us as the Bahamas. So I'll let Catherine basically to say who she is quickly, and so we can start our conversation, then quickly go to Alex to say who she is quickly, and then I want to ask you one poignant question as to what happened to you on festival.
Okay, well, thank you for saying quickly to keep us going along. First of all, thank you for the show. I appreciate the depth and the interest and the intrigue and the honor it does to the mystique and the beauty of that is the history and the culture of our country. He's smelling a Hayden mango from the Mayless Farm right now, everyone. If you want to smell childhood summer, put that in the sea and it is it. I am Catherine Chisnell Mitchell, and thank you. Yes, we are romantically passionate about the Bahamas. I hope my husband isn't listening, but I told him on the first date that I was never leaving the Bahamas for a man because it is my one true love. Mm-hmm. And it remains so. We both recently had the opportunity to attend Sir Charles Carter's memorial service, and it really touched me because after we heard the rendition of Who's Gonna Fill the Shoes from the Ramming Brothers, I thought, wow, we really have to ask ourselves that on a daily basis. And the one quote they had, never once was he not proud to be a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. And I want to just not feel that way because I do in my bones, but to live that way, that we honor our country, that we realize that we still have a nation that can be created, that can be built, that can be invested into. Yes, I am a Bahamian born at Princess Margaret Hospital. I grew up in Gambier. I now live in Adelaide on the Mayless Farm. I am here. My name is, I did do my master's in history at the University of St. Andrews. I went to Queen's College all my life here. My kids are there too now. We're proud QC Comets. My aunt is Alexandra. She's also my godmother, my boss, my comrade at arms, my fellow volunteer in all things in life. And we really share a passion for serving the country. So thank you for having us here. It's so good to see you in the flesh and out of Facebook jail.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm blushing. And if you see me right now, and whoever knows me, it's hard for us blue-black people to blush. And right now, my entire cheek is like a purplish red.
I know, but you should see the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, I'm excited. These are my two best friends. But go ahead.
Words out of my mouth, you know, and I'm going to listen to the two of you for this one because it's very exciting to hear you go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But my name is Alexandra Mayless Lynch. Actually, that introduction that you gave me just now was the most unique one that I have ever had, and so I appreciate it very much. It speaks to your imagination and your
your ability to romanticize something out of nothing. So I'm very thrilled by that.
But you're both fellow romantics. That's what you share.
We are.
And often we're told, put emotion aside, put passion aside, put romance aside, and talked about practicalities. And I think that if we remove that from any conversation when we're talking about our nation, then we are being false to ourselves, because it is that passion that is going to keep us alive, that is going to keep us unique, that is going to give us an identity that feeds and makes us marketable and profitable in the years to come. So amen, hallelujah.
Yeah, definitely. So let's start.
Yes.
2022 will be the Bahamas' 50th anniversary of independence.
Is that what year it is? Where am I?
What will you be doing? What type of things you anticipate? What do you feel that we should be celebrating? How we should be celebrating? Anyone, go ahead.
I think any kind of celebration is a recognition of life and the people involved. If you have a wedding, it's not just about the bride and groom. It's about the families coming together and looking forward to a future of growth. They're looking towards a marriage, not the party. And I think that's what we need to be doing as we celebrate any kind of anniversary coming up. We're at a very interesting time because we've had to take a mandatory sabbatical from that which is our lifeblood, which is our tourism. Hurricane Dorian hit us hard in all aspects. And then we got that, right on the back of that came the pandemics. We had to take a time of mandatory reflection and say, who are we? What are we doing? Where are we going? I mean, I think, I'm not great with the statistics, but I know the trillions of dollars were lost globally when it came to the tourism industry as a whole. And that is going to be a long road back. But with every trauma comes opportunity. But, and I think this is a time of great opportunity for us.
But there is a but to all of that. Yes. Because our tourism product and the direction that we were going in before COVID and before Dorian was not a good product. And I'm sorry to say it like that, but I have to Catherine is politer than I am. I have to speak plainly on that.
Well, we were holding our tourists, I think we tend to hold our tourists captive in the infrastructure we've built rather than giving them what the global trends are demanding, which is an immersive, experiential, authentic, eco-friendly, mobile, sustainable experience. Younger people are traveling. This is what there is nothing in the world that will ever be more beautiful than our blonde beaches and blue-eyed seas.
You both do festivals.
Yes.
And you were successful at it. I mean, you became a name brand. Two of you together have partnered and participated in a number of festivals where Bohemians stand in awe at the high quality of it.
No,
right?
We didn't participate in festivals. I was raised on festivals.
Okay.
Yes. As a child, I was talking to Alexandra. We were like, this is not about one festival, Festival Rum Bahamas, which was our last and most notable branding and had Guardian Family participating in. Hey, Aaron. But I as a child, in the trenches of the International Cultural Festival. We
Queens
participated
College.
In Jollification and Wine and Arts for years. We were, what was in Bay Street? Junkanoo in June, Junkanoo in July.
June,
We were in the Great Festival birthday of the Rain.
You're a festival family.
No, but because we look at the great alchemy of souls that we need to have support in the Bahamas. The culture, the music, the food, the people. An island like this can't necessarily sustain ongoing activities of our population. But we can create events that have a local tourist market that is necessary for just the ethos, just for the spirit that builds a nation, and also curate a new offering to an international tourist body. And over
and
the
more
years,
importantly, you actually get hold of markets to come to the country through festivals. You know, it's not just the generic tourists. It's I'm not knocking the generic tourists. We need those as well. But our tourism product is basically a boring product. And we need those tourists that are higher quality tourists. And I'm not talking about money or class or anything. I'm talking about what capital that actually care about a country. Yeah. They don't just want something. They don't want to. I was in Junkanoo in June, and a tourist approached me and said, "Where's the popcorn? I need the popcorn." An American tourist, and I was like, "Popcorn? You come to our country to eat popcorn?" I did say it like that, and my team had to put me to the back of the tent because I was so upset. Because it was like, you come to our country for popcorn that you could get in any American city, anywhere, and you could go to your food store. You come for us. Find us.
And we are the prettiest place in the world. No one will ever take that from my soul. I believe it. But we also have personality. And I feel like the people that she's looking to attract in her soul are those that want the tactile experience of the Bahamas. And if we don't do that, if we don't find a way to support our arts, because as, you know, Dostoevsky said, beauty will save the world, the beauty that is our soul, then we are going to have a lot of trouble with the competition of a cheaper Caribbean around us that also have pretty beaches. But to get to the pockets of paradise we offer, it's really expensive.
I'm going to ask a two-part question. One is going to be controversial, right? I'm going to leave the controversial one.
See, I've been controversial.
I'm going to leave the controversial
one. I was waiting for this one.
I'm shocked.
I'm going to leave the good question to Alex.
I know your favorite is. You don't have to play favorites.
The good question I want to ask is, where's your vision of festivals in the Bahamas? What is your vision?
We should have had a festival in every area of the Bahamas, every island in the Bahamas, and certainly one in Nassau and every month of the Bahamas.
But we have a lot of festivals now.
No, we don't. We have private festivals. Mm-hmm. We have fundraising events for people. We do not have festivals that involve whole communities.
Communities.
That's right. Let me just say this one, Catherine, then I'll hand it over to you.
I have a question for Catherine by herself?
We've been talking about an Over the Hill festival. Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted to see Carnival Over the Hill. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see it go down Blue Hill Road and take up line both sides of that road and go all the way and end at the Edmund Moxie Park, because I felt like it should be that kind of event.
So you see festivals being more community-oriented?
It has to be. It cannot just be something that is faked. It has to be something. We worked hard in Festival Run Bahamas to make sure that we involved members of the community.
But you mentioned that festivals are private and we need more festivals. But we just had last weekend.
They were private fundraisers.
We just had the Long Island Regatta. Yeah, we had the Rican Scrape Regatta. We have festival again this weekend. There's a crab festival, I think, this weekend.
Yes.
Surely we have enough festivals.
No, I don't think we have enough.
No?
I don't think we have enough. I don't think we have enough unique. And I think that those festivals need better support. I'm not saying that we have to reinvent the wheel in every single one. Okay, I just think we have no real festival infrastructure.
I want to bring Catherine in with a controversial question. But I'm going to tell you the question so you can think on it, Alexandria. How do we develop festivals? How does it start from scratch? What do we do to inspire Bahamians to say, okay, I want to develop communities. I want to develop a festival. Not a question for you, Catherine, the controversial one.
Yes,
right?
Bring it to me.
The other day, I had a caller, Sparky. Sparky said that
hi, Sparky.
White Bahamians, Conky Joe Bahamians, do not participate in festivals. They don't participate in Bahamiana. In terms of Independence Day, in terms of going and participating eagerly in Junkanoo. Mm-hmm. And you both are white Bahamians. And I know you
involved.
Give me one minute.
I know you're so lucky you didn't give this one to Alexandra.
He's so lucky he didn't give it to me.
Involved. Yeah. I know you both are intimately involved, but you all are a unique thing. I want to know, is it true that the sentiment that he said, that white Bahamians don't participate in culture and festivals and parades that is Bahamian?
Can I just ask you, CA, to what end was that being said?
I don't want to divert festivals into a race issue or that kind of issue.
I want to know if it's true, and if it's not true, how do we dismiss such things?
First of all, I really need to give Sparky a hug, don't I? I mean, I do appreciate that he asks the questions that keep people mad enough to answer them. But also, I wonder what the experience is that you haven't seen that. Because any festival that I have attended has been the example of the extraordinary melting pot that we are. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have the unique and impressive history of being led by a black majority for decades. And I think that's one of the things I'm proudest of as a Bahamian. But you go to any festival format, and you're going to see all colors of the skin color rainbow laid out behind you and really participating. That is where our participation happens. And that's what I think the importance of festivals are. Alexandra has been talking for decades about creating a stage in Rawson Square that has a different culture featured every week because we have them in us. We talk about the monotony and the flatness of Bahamian food. But if you look at what Patricia Mikolas Gilinton taught in the Bahamian kitchen at Festival Run Bahamas, we come from Africa, South America, Asia, every part of the world, and that could be on offer there. There are so many countries that are using hallmark events for survival. Australia is my biggest inspiration because they don't have what we have. Mm-hmm. And like Queensland, Australia just announced, their premier just announced that they're putting $20 million specifically into making a road trip to music festival because they have what in Queensland? I'm not dissing anyone in Australia. It's beautiful. But they've said, okay, we don't have anything happening here. We need young people in indigenous cultures traditionally to have work and have something going on. Let's invest in this. We're investing in people, but also we're giving something really marketable to our tourists. We have a lost generation about to not graduate from high school after years of not being educated. We can say, what are we going to do with them? They don't have the finances or the education to command a tertiary degree. So that we say, okay, get trained, have a vocation. And then what? What are we going to do with these flexible mobile groups of people? A festival and event tourism is part of an answer towards that.
Who's responsible for promoting that to make sure that happens? What you're talking about?
What do you think, Alexandra?
What do you mean?
Who's responsible for promoting?
I'm going back to the question I asked you.
Yes.
Promoting it to the outside world or to promoting
make sure
it
that
here?
Festivals happen
I
here.
Think that it has to be a joint project between the government and the private sector. It has to. It's a responsibility of all of us. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the festival commission was supposed to be doing, as far as I was concerned, not just one festival.
I know
festival.
They support, you come with an idea, because I know there is a branch in Ministry of Tourism, the festival.
It has to go beyond, they don't have the time or the, it has to be something that's totally unique. It cannot be something that's on top of the Ministry of Tourism. They don't have.
Starting festivals be taught like a school.
I think absolutely. So. Absolutely,
absolutely.
Australia has very good courses on it.
They have festival tourism can be
and
taught,
Scotland.
But also what I think is that if we don't take seriously and support our small businesses, we're going to really struggle in the decades to come because that's still what gives us our uniqueness. And that is the perfect launch pad for that. I mean, Festival Run Bahamas, which is an example of the many festivals we participated in our last one, had a whole micro business pavilion. A lot of those businesses today have expanded, are doing better. Their brands have grown. It is not exclusively because of that. It's because festivals are not a place to go get rich as a vendor, but it is a place to have experience, make a brand, test your brand, and
get exposure for your product.
Get exposure so the products can grow beyond the bounds of it. So it is a platform that can help feed small businesses where you can't handle, so many great ideas can't handle the overhead, the insurances, the business licenses that you
the
should
cost
have
of doing business
if you're running
in our
a small
country.
Business in the country.
That.
But we still need to feed into that ingenuity. I mean, when we were promoting Run Bahamas, I was like, when if you go somewhere like Cuba, the Dominican Republic, they do not necessarily have everything we have, I say as a biased Bahamian. I love you, Cuba and DR. But they will make the Taj Mahal out of matchbox.
And the thing is,
you know, they'll take one hole and they'll make a theme park around. They'll be like, come look at this pit. I'm like, this pit for real? And they'll do it. I'm like, we have so much.
And we don't
everyone
know. We
knows
do nothing.
It. Hollywood knows it. We don't help ourselves to our history. Although I did go to the Pirate Museum with my children last weekend and have a fantastic time. And I do appreciate the efforts being made by so many people to cue into it. But we have such a sexy history.
We have such,
it's marketable. There's depth there.
So
there's things
our festival should be based on our history, you think?
I think history needs to
history,
participate
culture,
in everything
music,
because
all
who
of
are
those.
We without
That's
it?
That's right.
It's like you begin every show with who you is, where you came from. Well, this is who we are. This is where we came from. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is where we're going. Okay. This is where we're going.
You know, Sia, you asked me about the Greek festival. When the Greek festival was born, it incorporated all of that, our history, our music, our food, our everything.
I love the Greek festival.
You know,
it's
like,
feel as if you're in Greece when you go there. These are Bahamians. You hear the Bahamian accent, right? You see the seasonings are there, but there's a Bahamian seasoning in it.
I'll tell you. I mean, that was born in 2003, and I worked for months to create that plan. because it was literally something born in my imagination. Mm-hmm. And I always believe that festivals have to have all of the different elements. It can't just have one. It doesn't work if it's just about food and drink, or just food, drink, and music. It has to have everything that makes you feel like, you know, it's a part of it. Like if I went to a Long Island regatta, which I've never gone because I'm always darn working, I want to know about the history of that regatta.
Yes.
I want to know about the history of Long Island.
Yes.
I want to see and feel that. I want to know about their small businesses. I want to know about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about me drinking and eating.
I
want to
catch a crab.
Up.
If there's a competition, I'm going to
yes.
win. I could catch crab with
yes.
Super Value flip-flop. You've seen it?
Yeah,
it's impressive.
Okay, we have a caller there,
yes.
So put on your airpiece there so you can hear. Caller, go ahead. You on Guardian Radio AM, and we're talking with Alexandra, and we're talking to Catherine, who are professional festivalers, if that's a word, right?
Okay.
And they're giving their opinion on history and on how festivals should be developed. Go ahead, caller.
What I want to ask, right, and the lady took one of the words right out of my mouth, drinking. The thing is, how are you going to... Now, our country already went to hell, okay? The people, all they does is drink and smoke and kill up each other and stuff like that. You talked about having it over the hill, right? That would be sort of the government act, right? The thing is, what sort of protection are you going to have there for the people to be protected? And not only that, people tired of just watching people shaking up themselves and drinking. Look at that. That's not getting the youngsters any place. That's not helping the youngsters to be a better citizen.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. That's why I believe that festivals have to be in greater depth. They can't just be about those things.
What about
I don't drink. The depth is going into the history of, so if we do something that is in the Hay Street area, you know, that is an area that has had Martin Luther King sleeping there.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not just about the alcohol and the celebration side of it. It's about the historical side of it. And so we have areas that are living history that we know nothing about. And so if you built that up, you don't just promote, let's drink this latest drink that's out on the market.
Automatically, it's going to be there.
No, but that's what you're saying, and I'm saying to you that there are ways. It depends on the people that are curating the festival.
No.
So you're not wrong about it being a problem in our country, but it's happening anyway, so why not write the script on it? Why not be the people who stage it properly so that it is not just about that?
Nice.
So how is it going to counteract the problem that we are having now?
I think what you're talking about, sir, and I say it with great...
Thank you very much, Bremen. Go ahead. Okay.
Thank you.
Answer me.
Yeah, and thank you. I feel it, and we agree with you. I mean, I'm a mom with young kids who, and Alexander and I both, shockingly, don't drink. A mom with young kids that wants family-friendly, safe activities. We have so many teenagers in our family. We want them to go out and have positive and edutainment experiences, is a word we use a lot when we were promoting Rum Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take gut deep creativity.
Yes.
I mean, again, we're looking at so many young people that we can't turn on the morning news without hearing about the latest murder,
right,
about what's gone down. But you can't just say, let's hide that all away and have a void to fill that space. We have to fill that with something positive. And that's purpose, that's employment, that's promotion of our small businesses so that they have a place on the stage. That's a belief that we have a future that is not just locked into the beautiful and profitable infrastructures of our hotels,
right,
but can bleed over or feed over into our communities that have a tremendous beauty.
I'd like
to
add one more thing for the gentleman, that he's not wrong about the levels of drinking that go on. However, unfortunately, it is only the liquor companies that sponsor stuff or mostly sponsor stuff like this because they want to promote themselves. And what I'm saying is that we have to have more government involvement in that we create a more interesting tourist product, not just promoting alcohol. But if you don't have to be begging for your money, you have a government who's supporting these things. They don't have to depend so much on the alcohol to make the money.
Good point, Alexandra. But again, we have to say that a responsibly run business, and we have had a lot of liquor companies sponsor us in the past. But some are like Young's that got their start doing a lot of festivals. They were at Speed Week back in the day, and they now have opened many businesses that are that cue to Bahamian history and culture, that respect it. You know, so we can't, we have to, that is not the problem. The problem is a societal one that I think that we're all very sensitive to, but that doesn't mean that we have to not create a function because that there may be behaviors associated with past ones.
It's not only that, our young people are bored. Yeah. What do we have for them to do? How do we have for them to express themselves creatively? When we did Rum Bahamas, we had young people who were decorating and painting and helping us in ways that, I saw young women rush from their work to come and, you know, help to decorate because they were having so much fun. They were paid as well, but they enjoyed the creative side. Where are we going to fill the creative need? Just taking away the drink doesn't solve the problem.
Good.
And I
see we have another call. We have callers who want to speak and chime in. Also, I know you're excited.
So
but go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
So good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guests in the studio.
Good morning.
A very timely conversation to be had. You know, I am one of those who are, you know, very concerned about the cultural aspect of our society, especially as it pertains to the next generation and the generation after this one. You know, we are lost right now as a people because our culture, you know, is not being explored in the manner that I feel that we should be exploring it. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, so many persons, even adults, do not even know what the true culture of this country is all about. Because maybe it has never been really taught in the manner that it should be taught. Right now, as it stands, we have a cultural identity crisis in this country right now. In fact, if you ask the average Bahamian child, what makes them uniquely Bahamian? Why are they Bahamian? How did we come about to be Bahamian? And you're going to be very surprised at the answers which you're going to receive, if any.
Right.
And I think with the two guests, studio really alluding to is the mere fact that the educational component of our culture, it has to be more involved or ingrained in our day-to-day lives.
Amen.
I would like to see where our areas like Bain and Grantstown, the true story of Bain and Grantstown, even if it means it's an enactment on how those areas came about. I would like to see that. I would like to see how the other over-the-hill areas, you know, really came about, who were very influential in those areas, where a lot of the families came from in those areas, and so on and so forth. You see, this conversation is so broad.
Right.
And so why?
Yes.
That we haven't even began to even scratch.
Exactly. So,
don't worry, he's going to have us back.
Yeah, definitely.
you're absolutely right.
And I congratulate all of you for bringing this conversation forward, because I'll close on this one point. You know, the thing is, like I said, we are lost as a people because we don't even have a real identity. There's no definition, no truth of what it is to be a Bahamian. Who is going to start this work?
Amen.
What is the process and how we are going to complete it? That's what I'm really alluding to. Thank you for taking
Thank you very much, Jeff. I want to piggyback on that. Another controversial question. And guess who we're going to gear it towards? Of course you, Catherine, right?
Oh, you want to talk on your own show?
Okay. And can you imagine? Independence again. The 2023 Independence Day celebration, and successfully in terms of having Bahamians buy into having, when I say subsect Bahamians, and let me try to define that. There's such a thing as Greek Bahamian, right? And Greek Bahamian culture, right? And I find that in general, Bahamians are prepared to celebrate with the Greek culture and say, hey, they're part of us. We know when they came here in the 1800s, and their story is important
or
to the
early
1900s.
Or
the early
1800s.
And their story is a part of the overall, overarching Bahamian culture. Can you see in the future a subset of Bahamians, Haitian Bahamian, Jamaican Bahamian, Chinese Bahamian, of course, Greek Bahamian, having their version of Bahamiana or for independence? Come, we're celebrating independence.
Well, I'm only waiting for that invitation, you know.
So you believe it's possible?
Course it is, but we've never been invited. You know, ask Sparky.
You need an invitation?
Of course you do. The organizers of a festival should have thought of that already. Mm-hmm. They should have included some of the subsects of people that are Bahamians here as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, because, yeah,
do you
know.
Do Bahamians would embrace it, like at the Independence Day celebration? You know, you have people, what is baklava? What is baklava?
No, but we're not baklava. We're actually not just about baklava. Greek Bahamians are a unique and very much a part of the contributing group of Bahamians. We are Bahamians as well. Mm-hmm. There are the Greeks, mm-hmm. but we're not the Greeks. No. We're Greek Bahamians.
Yes.
I mean, my father was a PLP senator. How much more Bahamian can that be? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest with that. I mean, you know, it's like,
you know, it's so interesting because, first of all, caller, I appreciate you. And as a historian and a Bahamian, I live trying to think, how am I going to imbue this into my children? Yes, we're going to take curves off of rocks and we're going to go crabbing and we're going to eat mangoes and we're going to eat cocoa plums and we're going to go to the festivals and we're going to learn the lessons and we're going to sing the songs. But how do you what makes somebody a Bahamian? I'm going to take that question and push it back. I'll say, if we don't figure that out, our future is limited, because if we can't present our we are on a world stage. Mm-hmm. We've always punched above our weight as a country, but we have the eyes of the world on us. Everyone's looking and saying, we see you and we know your value. Do you? And we have to say, yes, we do. And we know who we are and what we are. When we are able to say that, of course we can be Greek, Chinese, Haitian, American, British, Bahamian. We African. Must be, because if we sever those parts of ourselves, we are not becoming more Bahamian because we lose those sides of us. We're becoming not our true selves. We're cutting off that which is going to make us a marketable commodity That's in right. the years to come. We're not looking to become Disney World, knock on all kinds of woods. I know they come and sponsor your shows. But we are looking to become truly Bahamian. That has successful hotels that are operating. That has event tourism. They tried that with Popeye's Bowl. And that has a festival tourism that feeds our local need and our external market so that we can continue to shine bright Bahamaland. Go ahead, I'll let you talk.
1 minute, Alex. Yeah. 1 minute, Alex. Okay. So usually, again, talking about our Independence Day celebration, right? Usually it's the government who hosts the big festival. The thing at the Fort Charlotte on the park there, right? But it hasn't morphed. It hasn't moved away from there to have communities
because we didn't
actually celebrate independence.
We didn't win independence by with blood, sweat, and tears. And so it's not ingrained in us as a people. And you know, we are a melting pot of cultures. That's what makes being a Bahamian what it is. And that's what makes us beautiful. We're not just one type of people. Mm-hmm. So when Sparky says, oh, we are the white people, and there's not just one white person, you know. We're a country. We're a diverse country.
Apparently, there's different type of white people. That's Greek right. Bahamians, Congolese Bahamians.
Wait, this is there's the first 11... time in the show he reached getting hit.
Wait,
okay, like you might you. Get it.
There's 11 different cultures that affect our food alone.
No,
not
and that,
just that.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to cue to. I brought her up earlier, but Patricia.
Yes.
Glinton Mikolas. Am I doing it wrong? She broke down the Bahamian kitchen and mm-hmm. wrote down all of the, you said 11 different influences. Oh, and Alexandra. And they broke down all of the different influences. I mean, what were they, Alex? That you broke them down and you talked about it and presented them. I'm like, that is what is authentically Bahamian.
Exactly.
We didn't manifest crack conch. That came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, and we have so many influences that have threaded through us that we call Bahamian now.
Yes.
That we don't actually realize that we are just a big melting pot mm-hmm. and a big, beautiful melting pot. And that we have new people entering the stage now of contributing to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we love to say, oh, Bahamian curry chicken. Okay, where did that come from?
It came in the Bahamas in the 80s, actually.
I mean, it came way back in the days of slavery when the Indians were first brought over from India. Mm. So we're part of all of that. It's not just, we're not just a spot or one independent day moment in time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that to dismiss the melting pot of cultures that we are
would be to cheapen us.
Would to cheapen
that would not
us,
enrich us. That would not purify us. We're not looking to create any kind of pure races. So look how that's gone in history. Okay, CA?
Let's ask how. Like I said, right now it's the government who is the premier cultural driver of festivals and things happening, right?
Right. And so it should be.
And so, and I'm talking about Independence Day.
And so it should be. They're the only independent money. That's why.
How do I get in an Independence Day festival in Fox Hill? We don't have any. There's no Independence Day Fox celebration now in Fox Hill.
No, how that's because they have it? Fox Hill Day.
Yes, but how do I move? See, I want to own Independence Day.
Why?
I'm not going.
Let me ask
I'm not
you
going
why,
to Clifford
CA.
Park.
Why?
I'm not going to Clifford Park.
Independence is a political event, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's in a political event. It's not part of our culture. That's why I'm saying we were not born in fire as a country. Mm. Okay, we said we don't want to belong to you anymore, and the next move is going to be when we say we're a republic. That is that we just don't have it ingrained, and that we didn't fight for it. Mm. So by not fighting for it meant it's not something that is valued to us.
But see, that's why I had to pause you.
Okay,
but independence is valued by the black population, and is this it? Is where Sparky come in again. I'm surprised he hasn't called yet, right? Where he said, where are the Conky Joe Bahamians? Why aren't they here celebrating with us? And he feels such a way that, man, if y'all don't want to celebrate with us, y'all ain't true Bahamian.
Oh, my gosh, Sparky, you should have seen me when I did put on a Junkanoo costume in Rush.
And we need more, surely
it was, it was, they did not, that was where the whiteness really came through. But I find that we constantly limit ourselves with these color-coded conversations.
Yes.
If that's what you wish to see, if that's where you wish the blame to lie, if that's what you would like not to see, I mean, I am not a Conky Joe Bahamian. I did not come from the Loyalist brand. I came from a different mash of European escapees from their own oppressions.
Yeah.
But I am of a brightish hue, as my QC students call. They don't say white; they say blonde skin.
Isn't Sparky blonde? He's blonde.
I say blonde skin. Yeah, I know he's blondie. But I mean, I think that we put ourselves back in a box when we start saying, "Well, where's the Conky Joes? Where's this one? Where's that one? Where are you?
Yes.
How are you participating? How are you leading? How are you nation building? Whose shoes are you filling? What shoes are you going to leave to fill? I almost refuse to engage because I think it's too small for such a wide, broad, important discussion to be pigeonholed into. Where do white people at? I've seen them. Where have you been?
Yeah.
Let's go. I've seen people of all hues, colors,
I'm
and
working, not just
and
participating, working damn hard.
I'm not saying that
hard.
Even defensively. Oh, I'm very, very happy to, I'm very happy to have, Erica, you ain't listening, right?
No. Look, it's 11:45. This is my first break. So
you were inviting us back to the show.
No,
it's not happening anymore.
No. I'm excited. This is what we need,
and
right?
And he has such a beautiful
And we need
smile.
To have this conversation continuously. But this is Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri, and I'm interviewing some dynamic ladies who are passionate. When I said passionate about Bahamian culture, this is what they do. This is what they live. So... I'm so excited for the conversation, but we'll be right back on the next side of this break.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, daily, and of course on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Radio in the AM, my name is C.A. Nuri, and we have some excitement at Guardian Radio at this present time, as we talk about festivals, as we talk about who we is as a people, as we talk about what we need to do to develop ourselves as people, to encompass all of us, and to know that being Bohemian is diverse. And all people need to come up to the fore and participate. And that's what we're talking about. But I want to talk about and move the conversation toward the possibilities of festival.
Yeah.
What are the possibilities of festivals in general? How can it benefit us as a country?
The possibilities are endless. And we talked about the attraction of a better quality tourist. Mm-hmm. And that is super important. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about an incident that I had. I was taken down to San Salvador. They wanted to see whether it was possible to have a Rum Bahamas in San Salvador. And I did the analysis of it, and I met with the committee that had invited me, and I was a little bit sad. Mm-hmm. I was sad for that very beautiful historical island that has absolutely no infrastructure at all. Mm-hmm. They would have had a fire festival disaster if they tried to do a big festival. And that's what made me, I mean, I was upset about that because I was like, wait a minute now, we're not building our islands.
So infrastructures are important too?
Absolutely. You can't tell 1,000 people to come and have no place to put them and have no place not enough taxi drivers and no buses to drive. You can't do that. So the way to grow with festivals is a series of not just necessarily huge things, but small, specific niche market festivals. Like, for example, there's a number of haunted, this is only a silly idea, but I'm just going to share it with you, haunted island spots on San Salvador. You could have a festival.
No, Chichani's still scary.
I mean, well, that's Andros, really. Yes, but that talk about the ghosts of John Watlings and the other things that went on there and the wrecking history of it.
Nice.
And you could really, really take that and make small festivals that could be handled by the people that are there, that don't need the level of infrastructure, but that had the support of the country, the government, because the government has to support festivals. It's better than paying unemployment. Because what do? When you have a festival, you develop people's creativity. Mm-hmm. When you develop creativity, you help them to form micro businesses, and micro businesses grow into smaller business, and small business grows into medium business.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and all of a sudden, you have a tourism product of people who want to go to that island because it's not boring.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, Alexandra, because yes, infrastructure is important, but it's more and more on trend for people to be opening their home, hearth, and heart.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's Ted Kaufman of TripAdvisor said that this year it was more happy memories and attestations were ranked for that, the people-to-people experiences that people had on TripAdvisor than going to the top of the Eiffel Tower. So people were more inclined to respond positively to going to the kitchen of the Italian grandmother in Brooklyn, and who had been making pizzas for generations. Someone's calling us.
No,
making pizza generations, then going to that landmine because they felt like they had a real, authentic memory and connection. How Alexandra likes to travel.
That's what
she's
I like.
Show me the guts, and I'll show you the glory.
Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio in the AM. Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, Jeff again. Listen, I had to call back.
Oh, dear.
You know, this conversation, like I said, it is so multidimensional. You know, and I'm really well, only because I know some of the insights of what Alexandria is expressing here, because I've been following her for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I can tell you, this is why the concept, I don't know if you would recall, may have been about 2 years ago, when it was the launch of this this cruise ship that was supposed to go into Ireland, you know, between some of the islands too. I mean, I guess kind of stimulate the economy, stimulate persons who would want to basically get into to marketing their islands and stuff. I believe that what was mentioned just now would have played a pivotal role in developing our islands. And Alexandria, you're quite so right. Our islands have been neglected by successive governments in putting in infrastructure, not just from a tourism standpoint, but from the populace living on these islands, where if you create some type of economy in these islands, perhaps a lot of persons here in Nassau who have the know-how and everything would move back to the islands and help to stimulate a new form of economy on the islands. And then the government would then step in terms of ensuring that transport and persons with boats and yachts and stuff would visit these islands.
Exactly.
So in essence, what I'm saying is what you guys are promoting this morning from that end, and what we as a people should be promoting from this end, there's no reason why our other islands who right now don't have a sort of an economy. Right. We cannot create economies to get these islands going. Okay. But we have to be visionary enough.
Yes.
We have to be willful and deliberate to do this. And this is what you guys are talking about. We are not willing and deliberate sufficiently to get some of these new nuances to get these in place. And at January, I congratulate you for this very stimulating time to bring a topic such as this to the forefront, where the Bahamian people can now open their minds and really see what is possible from what is impossible, what was practiced before, what is in practice, and the nuances of beginning new things in this country to move our country along. Thanks for taking my call.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
And let's talk about sustainable development. And I'm going to make sure I have 5 minutes, so everything has to be cut in five minutes. Is that someone holding? No, right? Okay, good. Let's quickly.
Well,
right? I want to talk about pop-up shops and that culture of that.
Yes.
Is that festivals? And can that be developed into being a big festival where
so
things
there's actually, you asked earlier, can festivals being taught? And there is a science of festivals. These things exist. And they begin with a tier of hallmark events, which are the big events that happen everywhere. Something like a Junkanoo could have a permanent hallmark event about it. And then there's the periodic events that have smaller markets, but they're as important. A pop-up festival absolutely is a small event that can happen on a regular or irregular basis that has a niche market that still adds depth to the fabric of a society that makes tourism sustainable, that makes us an interesting place to visit. I mean, sometimes I'm scared to read articles on what people think about the Bahamas lately because I'm so defensive of it that when people say there's not much out, it's expensive, there's 3 for $10 t-shirts, there's not much outside the hotel, that I feel like a rise in me that says, how are we going to answer this? How are we going to survive without gut-wrenching creativity? But the one thing, as Alexandra has said, it is hard and it takes money and it takes support. If you see something happening beautifully and well, it's not necessarily because it's done being better than it's been done before. It's because it had the support. Mm-hmm. And so we're saying, if we don't do this, then what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these young people coming out of high school?
It's got to be deliberate and purposefully done.
As he said,
I love that word. He used that word.
Yes. Deliberate and purposeful. This has to be done. The vision is not something that floats upon you. This is something that we say, the idea of manifesting is that you would say, this is where we're going. How are we getting there? What is our vision board as a country? I think this could be a part of it that could be important. Now, we still coming out
And take it island by island and say how do we do this is done like
the
that
road
deliberately.
Back to music, but like the
Absolutely.
Island hopping.
And
I want
to ask this question so you'll answer it for the last part of the show, last minutes of the show. The audience, who should we be, when we talk about festivals, who should we be targeting? Who should I be in our major audience?
Both.
Should it be
both.
Bahamians or should
Absolutely
it be the
Absolutely has to
tourists?
Be both. It cannot be just
and
tourists.
Explain that for me.
Tourists don't want generic tourists, good quality tourists.
The
ones
that are
targeting
you don't want.
Yes. They want things that Bahamians are at. You know, we still have people writing us over Festival Run Bahamas saying, thank you for that festival. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called it, because they felt like they were dancing next to real Bahamians, not people with fake American accents coming to you and approaching you and trying to make you sound like they Bahamian.
And I have 2 minutes. What's this last question? Let me beat Catherine. I see Run Bahamas having another festival. I'm very impressed. Tell me about that.
I would like to be told about it too. So if anyone knows about it, please feel free.
So that's not you.
No, that isn't us. I don't know who's behind it, but no, it is it. No, we don't know. Feel free to enlighten us at any time.
You need to know the deets.
We don't do things by ourselves. We do things with other people. So everyone in this world would have known it was happening, and it would have been us, blasting that all over the country.
Yeah.
We have a huge team of people waiting, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
He's trying to cut us off, everyone.
No,
but we will be thrilled to come again.
This has been Guardian Radio in AM. I was speaking with my two friends, right, who spoke about culture and festivals in general. I see you tomorrow, right? So take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Thank you.